morning, church. Glad you've chosen to worship together with us. And today is the first Sunday of the month, and that usually means that we're gathering together with our brothers and sisters on all three campuses of Mission Hill Church. So would you welcome those who are joining us at our 6 Mile campus and those who are joining us at our Lake Carroll campus and those who are, of course, joining us online. Take your copy of God's Word. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. In fact, for the next several weeks, we'll be in Matthew 18. So take it out or turn it on. You need to follow with me to make sure I'm not making this stuff up. All right? We taught all of our children that there are 9 words that can change their world. You ready? I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Let's say those together. I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And then we've taught them that there are actually 3 more words that can change their lives. Are you ready for this? I forgive you. Say those. I forgive you. Man, that's a hard subject. Forgiveness is hard. In fact, I would imagine that right now you're thinking about somebody or some event in your life that revolves around this idea of forgiveness, and you're struggling with whether or not you even want to stay in your seat and hear the rest of what I have to say. But here's the deal. We all know what it's like to be hurt, really hurt. Maybe it's a friend who betrayed us, or a family member who let us down, or even somebody at church that didn't do what we thought they should do. Maybe we've hurt other people. Truth is, we've all been on both sides of this equation. We all know what it's like to need forgiveness, and we all know what it's like to need to forgive. This can become a heavy weight, a burden that we bear, that we carry with us, and it affects our lives whether we recognize it or not. We know deep down that forgiveness is necessary, but we struggle sometimes to give and sometimes even more to receive forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big deal. But I want you to see over the next several weeks that forgiveness is a big deal, not just for your relationships. Forgiveness is a big deal for your soul health, the well-being of the inner you. So I'm going to share some familiar quotes about forgiveness, but I want you to think about what it means to forgive. And if you haven't already done so, what you may want to do is grab a pen, a pencil, lipstick, Crayola, mascara, something you can write with. Maybe grab a piece of paper or that note app on your phone or your iPad, something to write on. And I want you to begin to think about this concept of forgiveness. It was Mark Twain who said, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the hill that has crushed it." Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Forgiveness is not an occasional act, it is a constant attitude." One of my favorites, C.S. Lewis, said, "To be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." Or a verse I learned as a child from the Apostle Paul, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you." Or Jesus, who said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Jesus would go on to say that forgiveness is at the very core of what it means to be a Christian. In fact, in a faith that is given to us freely, forgiveness is something that is required. It's essential. Listen to Matthew 6 and verse 14. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And this hits hard because deep down, all of us have had to struggle with this in some way. But Jesus doesn't focus on our feelings, and he doesn't leave us guessing about his requirements. So for the next several weeks, we're going to look at the subject of forgiveness. We're going to talk next week about specifically how to forgive those you need to forgive. The next week, we're going to talk about the most difficult person to forgive. Not me for you, but me for me, yourself. And then that last week, we're going to talk about how to really let it go. Forgiving for good. But today we look at Matthew 18 and we see what Jesus teaches us about how to define forgiveness. Would you stand with me and honor the reading of God's perfect word? We're going to pick up in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and he asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" I'm just going to tell you in advance, this does not turn out the way Peter was hoping. Peter's doing something that we all do. Peter's focusing on himself. Did you catch that? He's not saying, how many times do I have to forgive? How many times do I have to forgive those who've messed against me, who've sinned against me? But you may not recognize that forgiveness is a new concept, so Peter wasn't that crazy. Forgiveness was not the Old Testament way. What was the Old Testament way? Eye for an eye. Good. Yeah. So This was not a mathematical equation you're about to hear from Jesus. This was a new principle. And so Jesus answered and said, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." And because we're all about limits in religion, you know, that's kind of what religion does, right? It's what Peter was asking. What's the limit? What can we not do? What's acceptable? So was Jesus saying, okay, the limit is 490? No. No, it's a new principle. It's something that's unthinkable. It's about forgiving in unimaginable and in infinite ways. That's what we're going to talk about around this big idea. People who follow King Jesus learn to forgive like Jesus forgave. Bow your heads with me in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, one more time, we're asking you, speak, Lord. We're listening. Holy Spirit of God, as we're united in your midst, as you are here with us, give us what we need that we don't have. Teach us new things. Change us for your glory. Lord, I pray that you break the chains of unforgiveness today. Lord, I pray that you heal relationships today. God, I ask that you allow someone who hears these words to experience your forgiveness for the first time today. Save somebody. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, for you're my strength and you're my redeemer. We want to be more like you, Jesus, just as you're teaching in this story. So teach us to pray, even as you prayed when you said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is the word of God. Peter was asking something that everyone has struggled with. How much do I need to forgive? Where can I stop? How do I start? But Jesus doesn't just answer him with that simple statement that we quoted a minute ago. Jesus drives the point home with the story. Listen as he continues. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Now let me just ask you, if Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, who do you think the king is? It's King Jesus. So just know, as we go through the rest of the story, we're seeing the model of King Jesus. And Jesus is going to define forgiveness. Here it is. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it is a settling of accounts. Did you hear what he said? The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts. Forgiveness is not, I feel like forgiving you. Forgiveness is not, I feel like I'm over this. Forgiveness is, I'm going to settle the account. It's what Jesus taught us to pray, and we just prayed. Some translations say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, what was that after in the model prayer? Did you remember? It was after, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. So we need daily forgiveness just as much as we need daily bread. Think about that one for a second. So Jesus continues. Verse 24, as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Now, I just need you to know, whatever translation you read that amount in, it's clear one thing. This was about 11 times the GDP, the gross domestic income, of the whole nation of Israel. In other words, the amount owed was an unimaginable debt. It was something that could never be overcome. So to put it in our terms today, it was like trillions of dollars. He was saying, imagine there's someone who has been owed trillions of dollars and it's not being repaid. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Oh, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, and read those next words out loud. Cancel the debt and let him go. That's the settling of accounts. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Not 10,000 bags of gold, 11 times the national income of Israel, but about 2 months' wages for a working guy. 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and he begged him, be patient with me and I will still pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. What a story. The man's received unimaginable mercy. He had a debt he could never repay. And he was let go. And then he turned. And with greed in his heart, with bitterness in his heart, he choked his fellow servant and had him thrown into prison. Well, the king's response is swift and severe. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and they went to their master and told him everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And then Jesus, in one sentence, gives commentary on what he's told in that story. You ready for this? Buckle up, buttercup. This is tough. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. I've spent all of my life believing and then much of my life preaching that the gift of salvation is free. It's God's gift of grace to us because of the sin debt paid by Jesus on the cross. That's true. But Jesus says, there's no way that you truly understand what he did for you and then fail to forgive others. That's a hard message to hear. Is there any doubt what Jesus believes? I told you to think about it. What does forgiveness mean to you? Again, I imagine you've got that person in mind or that event, something that happened to you. Let me give you a definition. Forgiveness is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that's a result of a wrong done against you. Let's read that out loud because I want you to get this. I want you to kind of ingest this. Let's read it. Forgiveness is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that's a result of a wrong done against you. So, what do we know? There was a wrong done. Has anybody ever had anything wrong happen to you? Let me see your hands. Okay, I thought we win. That's a majority vote. There was a wrong done. The wrong created a debt. In other words, there were consequences. This didn't just hurt your feelings. Something happened because of this wrong done. And then the debt is canceled by an intentional act. So you got this person in your head. I know it. I'm not psychic. I just know what you're thinking. Thinking, how can I do this? And I've thought about my life. And to be honest with you, I think in my life, the biggest examples of this story is probably how others have forgiven me. But I thought I would illustrate it with kind of a humorous story. Some of you have heard it before. It's when I was in third grade. My dad was kind of like me. He was a pastor, and he would travel a good bit. And he came home from one trip, and he always brought me a little something. Sometimes I didn't even understand what he brought me, but it was a little something. I remember when he came home, and he brought me a little souvenir knife that said Tennessee. He had been to Tennessee. I was so proud of that thing. So the next day, I took it to school to show all my friends. Now, this was a long time ago. It was when I was in third grade. And I was just minding my own business in Miss Richardson's class. And I hear this, Miss Richardson, is Paul Purvis in your class? Yes, sir, he is. Can you send him to the principal's office? Now, I was not the troublemaker. I thought, oh, crud, what is going on? I go to the principal's office, and you know what they say? Paul, did you bring a knife to school? I got so embarrassed and so angry at the same time because I knew at that point only one person knew I had brought a knife to school. You know who it was? Rodney, my best friend. I got in trouble, but so did Rodney. And so yesterday as I was thinking about this message, I called him and he didn't answer. I said, call me back. I said, hey, you remember third grade, Miss Richardson's class, when you turned me in because of that knife my dad gave me? He said, yeah, I remember. I said, I just want you to know I forgive you. Now, I wanted you to laugh a little bit because this is a hard thing, right? Maybe the person you're thinking about is not a good friend like Rodney still is to me today. So let me just tell you some things that forgiveness does not mean. Forgiveness does not mean you approve of what was done. I need you to accept that. When you forgive somebody, you're not saying, hey, good job, thanks. Do it again? No, that's not forgiveness. Number two, forgiveness does not mean you excuse what was done. It's not justifying it. It's not saying, I guess I had that coming. Well, I probably deserved it. It's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness does not mean you pardon what was done. Pardon is a legal phrase. We hear a lot about that because every president, this is not a political statement, every president at the end of their term, you know what they do? They pardon their friends. They let people get off the hook, often who have done really bad things. And when they pardon them, you know what happens? Those people no longer have the consequences of having broken the law. So a pardon is not forgiveness. A pardon is saying there's no more consequences. Forgiveness is not erasing the consequences of the wrong that's been done. It also does not mean you reconcile with the offender. Sometimes you don't want to forgive because you feel like that means I've got to have a relationship. Reconciliation, number one, takes repentance. If there's been sin, if there's wrong done, somebody has to acknowledge that. Remember how I said we teach our children? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's the step of repentance. But reconciliation also takes two people. And you're called to forgive whether or not the other person wants to be involved in this transaction. Forgiveness does not mean you forget the offense. I don't know who came up with the phrase, forgive and forget. They weren't human, I don't think. That's not possible. Particularly if you're talking about some of the worst things that have been done to you. You can't erase them from your memory. Now, I think you can pray, Lord, give me a short memory of offense. I began to pray that to the Lord years ago, and he answered part of the prayer. He just gave me a short memory. I can't remember anything. But really, he really has helped me, truthfully, not to hold on to things. So you can pray about that. You can give that to the Lord. But really what you want to do is you want to forgive and remember. You want to remember why you're forgiving. And what Jesus is teaching us here is that we're forgiving not because we're so great. We're forgiving because of the great things he has done for us. We're forgiving not because of who we are. We're forgiving because of who he is. We're forgiving because we have been forgiven. That's how forgiveness originates in our life. Finally, forgiveness does not mean you pretend it never happened. That's not what this is about. What do we do? Getting back to Scripture, what can we learn from this story? I told you in the beginning the big idea. Let me remind you again. People who follow King Jesus learn to forgive like Jesus forgave. How did Jesus forgive? Well, he tells us at the end of this passage, in his 1-2 punch, driving it home, he tells us forgiveness is a decision that begins in the heart. Now, if forgiveness is a matter of the heart, what does that mean? Like everything else in our faith, this is not about how you feel. I can't really tell you that enough. Your faith journey is not about feelings, because sometimes you feel good, sometimes you feel bad. Sometimes you feel like getting up and going to church. Sometimes you want to pull the covers up and stay in bed. And I'm just talking about the preacher, right? Our feelings change with the circumstances. Forgiveness is not about your feelings. Forgiveness is not even a decision of the mind. Because some of you have been through things that it doesn't make sense to forgive. Do you think it made sense for the king to forgive this unimaginable debt? No. That's why Jesus would say, you have to forgive from your heart, from the core of your being, from the extent of who you really are. It's a conscious decision arising out of your heart. So how do we get there? I told you next week we're really going to dive into how to forgive somebody. All right? I'm going to make it practical. I'm going to lay it out. So if you want help, you're locked in at least for another week, okay? But I want to start you down that path today. So I want you to take out something you have to write on, I want you to record some of what we're going to begin to think and pray through. I want you to think about developing a forgiveness ledger. You know what that is? That's where you really put it down. You take pencil or ink to paper and you put down what's going on. Because for some of you, unforgiveness has you chained up. And it's like that poison that you're drinking and you're hoping somebody else dies and you're dying by the day. Because you're unwilling to be forgiving. So let me just walk you through some things that make up your forgiveness ledger. I want you to think about who has sinned against you. If you're doing this with me now, you may know that and you even write their name down. What did they owe you? What did they take from you? For some of you, it was your innocence, your dream, your family. What feelings are associated with their actions? What is it that this causes you to think about in your life? Maybe it just keeps you angry. You walk around with a short fuse. Maybe it leaves you walking in depression. And then you're going to ask, am I willing to cancel the debt of those who've sinned against me? Who is the person? What did they take? How did it make you feel? What is it going to take to make you forgive? Hear how quiet it is? I think there are few things in the life of the followers of Jesus that have such great impact as this issue. So that's when I gathered to pray with some warriors just before we came in here. I prayed, God, would you, Holy Spirit, take that divine scalpel and begin to do surgery in our hearts? Because as you're going to see in the coming weeks, this is core to our faith. It's hard, but it can be done. Some of you know the name Corrie ten Boom. She's a famous follower of Jesus who lived her life, suffered the pain of Nazi Germany. She lost her sister in a Nazi concentration camp, and her story goes that she later faced the guard who had been cruel to them. Hatred rose up in her, but she prayed for Jesus and his forgiveness to flow through her. She says that she took his hand and a supernatural love rose up. And she discovered this. She said, forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to discover the prisoner was me. Think about that. To forgive is to set the prisoner free, only to understand that the prisoner was you. You see, what unforgiveness does is it causes us to be consumed with all these emotions, all these feelings. That's why we're addressing them. But most of the time, the people we're holding those against, they're going on with their life. They're not thinking about you. Their head's not hitting the pillow and dreaming about what could happen to you like you are to them. You're the prisoner, and forgiveness is so important because it is what sets you free. That's why this ledger is so important. Jesus was trying to teach us that forgiveness in our earthly relationships must be modeled after the forgiveness God gives us in our horizontal relationships. And if you don't forgive others in those horizontal relationships, the earthly relationships, you're going to have difficulty accepting the forgiveness of God in the vertical relationship. But if you understand that in spite of who you are and in spite of everything you've done, that Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sin, and he did it completely once for all. If you understand that, then you think, all right, I guess I can begin to love and forgive like he has done. You see, Jesus is telling this story in Matthew 18, but for him, we know it was more than a story, right? In Colossians in chapter 2, it says, when you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us. Do you see that? He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge. It's not a feeling. It's a settling of accounts. Yes, God loves you, but don't think of God just as love. You don't know him if that's how you think of God. God is holy. He is just. He cannot let sin go unpunished. So when Jesus died on the cross, he was settling an account once and for all. He was canceling the debt of you and of me. Having canceled the charge of all our legal indebtedness, which stood against and condemned us, he's taken it away. Listen to this. Nailing it to the cross. We're going to spend a few weeks on this, but I'm praying that we hear some forgiveness stories come out of this. I heard a story about someone that made a forgiveness ledger like this one time. And when they got to the point, it took them a little bit, but when they got to the point to forgive those things that they had written down on the ledger, they burned that piece of paper and they put it in an urn, kind of like you put grandma in. And then this guy was a surfer, so he went out in the ocean and he just dumped the ashes. Maybe for you, it's, I don't know, we may put some crosses up here and just give you a chance to say, I'm nailing this to the cross. I'm letting it go. Because here's the deal. That ledger, God had that against us. We sinned against God. We owe a debt because of that sin. The Bible says the only thing worthy to pay the price of sin is death. Our sin grieves God. That's how he feels about it. He hates the sin in our life. But he loves us, and he demonstrated his love in spite of our sinfulness by dying on the cross. And he canceled the debt. Aren't you grateful for that? Your massive debt, my massive debt, was paid in full by King Jesus. He didn't wait for us to earn it. He canceled it out of our mercy, grace, and forgiveness. You don't forgive somebody. I'm going to forgive them when they act like they're ready for it. I'm so thankful that God didn't wait for me to be ready for it. People who follow King Jesus learn to forgive like Jesus forgave. What you need to bring to Jesus today? Just a moment, we're going to do what we do each and every week. After we open God's word, we sing a little. We're going to bring our gifts to God in a moment. But we're going to pray and respond. And as always, we've got these nice carpets to make it a little easier on your knees if you just want to come and kneel and pray. These steps form a personal altar that you can just kneel and pray. Our pastors will be standing here to pray with you if that's a need that you have. But I'm asking you, what do you need to bring to Jesus? Who do you need to bring to Jesus? You may not be there today. This is not about manipulation or emotion. Maybe some of those feelings you just got to keep bringing to the cross again and again. Jesus, I'm going to keep bringing this to you till I feel like you've dealt with it fully in my life. What relationships are you praying for? Does anybody have anybody you're praying for reconciliation with? I do. Anybody else have anybody? Bring that to Jesus. All this means, if you've never experienced the forgiveness of God, you're not equipped to forgive other people. You understand? Jesus is talking to those who followed him. That's really who I've been talking to today. But you've heard it, even if you haven't. So if you've never trusted in Jesus, here's the good news. God loves you. And this death of Christ by Jesus on the cross, he did that because of you and because of your sinfulness. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to dial in. And if you're in this room, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that there's an enemy who would do everything to distract us, even in the most important part of this time of worship. So I'm going to ask you just to focus in. Maybe right now, bow your heads with me. And if you've never trusted in the death of Jesus for the purpose of canceling your sin debt, maybe you would cry out a prayer to God, something like this right now. Just you and him. Say this: Jesus, I know I need you. I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. Tell him the facts. My sin created a debt, but I can never repay you. I believe you died for me. And I know you're alive today. So I receive your forgiveness. Come into my life. Take control.